build her, brand her, become her, be her podcast. Welcome to the Be Her Podcast. It's your girl, Quiana J. I'm a life and brand architect, and I empower kingdom women like you to live kingdom lives. And for those emerging Christian female entrepreneurs, I help you strategically build a kingdom brand that has presence, power, and profits to match. My mission is to help 1 million plus women build, brand, and become the highest version of themselves by God's design. I'm talking about faith walkers, kingdom decreers, supernatural manifestors, and wealth-generating entrepreneurs and influencers who are unapologetically bold, brilliant, and creative beings who are assured of their worth, knowing that God has blessed them to empower this generation with her presence. Sis, today's lineup is going to empower you to live by design and provoke you to become her. Wherever you are in life or in your entrepreneurial journey, this podcast covers all things life, entrepreneurship, God, and everything in between. So grab your hot cup of cappuccino and get ready to take a sip to the biblical bombshells being dropped. I have a top three song countdown, and I will be delivering you divine insight and strategy about your life and or your brand. Let's go. Yo, welcome to the inaugural show of the Be Her Podcast. I am so glad that you are tuning in. This episode, I want you to turn out with me in my top three songs countdown. Listen, this is from Christian female artists that are in the R&B and or the Christian hip hop genres. I'm going to be talking about loving yourself enough as well, because listen, at some point, you're going to have to give yourself permission to be great. But you cannot become great until you confront those limiting, negative, and defeated beliefs about yourself. So we're going to deal with that for sure. And to my emerging kingdom entrepreneurs, I want to share with you the top five things that you need to do before you launch your brand. I want to make sure that you are sealed tight before you go out there and expose your expertise. But first, I want to share a real life moment. This is Quiana J. Uncut. And I want to share a real life moment and reflection from this past week, as well as a testimony. So here's a real life moment. This past week, I was in a complete funk. Like, I just did not feel like myself. And I talked to God. I talked to my besties. I talked to my honey bunches of oats, aka my hubby. And I found myself in my closet bawling my eyes out. Like, I just felt completely demotivated. I didn't feel like talking to anybody, really. I just did not feel good about myself whatsoever. And usually when I'm in a space like that, I'm a person who loves to focus in and to do a lot of introspection. Like, I'm really cerebral about my life and being in tune with myself. And so I just asked myself a lot of questions, but I really could not answer myself. I mean, I just couldn't articulate what in the world was going on with me. And it took me a minute to really try to figure that moment out. And it took me like a week. Like, literally, I was just irritated by my son, who is 6 years old. I was irritated by my husband with some things that he does. But I never really, like, gave voice to the things. I mean, I was even thinking, like, man, maybe I'm about to, you know, come on my monthly or something. And then I was calculating, like, nah, I ain't even ready for that yet, you know. So real talk, I was just having a full-blown moment. And then it was something that one of my besties said that brought everything into perspective. She said, you're going through a lot of transition. Look at this. You're transitioning to another job. You're transitioning in your business. You're transitioning in your marriage. You're transitioning in every place. Your son is transitioning to even first grade. And I'm just like, wow, I forgot I shared these things with her and my feelings about it. And she said, yeah, you're having a whole breakdown because you're going through a lot of transition and you need to give yourself space to really deal with your emotions about all of that. I've been going through the trademarking process. Like, I just have some stuff to share with y'all that don't, I mean, like, you need to know about this, right? So when she said that, I thought about it. You're right. I am transitioning. And sometimes when we can't articulate what is happening with us, sometimes we may be in a life transition. I had already started feeling myself shift. I felt myself elevating. I felt myself becoming a different type of person. I felt myself no longer tolerating the things that I may have tolerated before. And it's just small things, you know what I mean? But when it comes to God, I'm always surrendered at the altar of His hand, right? I'm always trying to make sure that I am also becoming the highest version of myself. That's what this podcast is really all about. I want to share with you real stuff that really happens in my life. And I always want to start off with the Quiana Uncut moment, because I need you to see behind the scenes that just because people are smiling on social media or giving you the pictures of their best life, it does not mean that they do not have problems. And sometimes we feel like that we're going through by ourselves. So for me, I really had to just go in the closet and bawl my eyes out. And when I came out of that closet, I was even more empowered than when I went in. And sometimes we don't look at our soul, you know what I mean, as the entity that really needs to be dumped as well. It needs to pour out. It needs to be cleansed as well. And our tears is a sign of their cleansing. And so, yeah, I had a moment as well. Now I'm even more empowered. Matter of fact, that is my creativity began to come forth even the more I feel like there's a pour of what God wants me to do next. And I mean, I had just come out of some warfare, and I'm gonna get into all of that. Like, I have so much to share, which is what is the premise of what this podcast is all about. And so for my testimony, like this past week, I have been, well, really this past like 3 months, I have been at this current position at this job, and I have just been like, what is this, God? Like, I had came out of a toxic environment for 5 years at this university, and I was just like, what in the world? But I have grown so much. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's like God wants me to learn what not to do. And I have learned how to be completely present and completely stable with my emotions and the way I feel, and not allow toxic environments to get into my space or to get into my world. And you know I'm gonna talk about that later as well. But it's just one of those moments where I was just like, Lord, I feel like I am at like Elijah at the brook called Cherith, you know what I'm saying? And it was just like, what am I gonna do? Like, this job that I'm currently at, it does not fit my skill set. Matter of fact, I felt like I had stepped back 10 steps. Like, you know, it's a complete glorified admin position, and I don't take anything from it. But then I realized, like, after I was looking at God, like, what are you doing? I realized that He was in this the whole time. See, because I needed this particular job to propel me to where I'm going. And so here is the testimony. I had been applying at this one unit, this other university. It's a state university, and I've been applying and applying like for years. Like, they have many applications for different positions for me. But evidently, sometimes when you step into the state world, you need state experience. And so that's what this current position have been able to do for me. It gave me the state experience. So when I went to apply at this other university again, it was like a no-brainer. Matter of fact, when I saw the position, I said, wow, it is almost the culmination of all of my skill sets. And so I applied for it, went through 3 interviews. They literally called me a unicorn because of my skill set. And again, this is just something that happens in my life. I always get kingdom results, not only in the marketplace through my brand, but also in the workplace. And so I'm going to be delving into that. So the testimony is, not only did I get the job, but what they first quoted me, they gave me way more. And so in the offer letter, so I am totally hyped. I definitely start in 2 weeks. And again, that's a transition by itself. So I was able to put in my resignation and my current job and really just say goodbye. But this whole entire time, I only been there for 5 months, but the 5 months is the measure of grace. That's what it means. And I think that God has given me grace to able to recoup and to be refreshed and restored from what He's going to do. And I will talk about Elijah a lot, because he's a biblical character that I relate to a lot, as well as Joseph. But yeah, just flow with me as we, you know, talk through different things in this podcast. But I wanted to share with you that you're probably the first audience to get that. So yeah, it's my privilege to share that with you. But listen, before we go any further, first up here in Number three in my top three countdown, let's turn up to Wande, Be Yourself, from the album Exit. Let's go. All right, that was number three in the top three countdown, Wande, Be Yourself, from the album Exit. Now let's go ahead and move into the biblical bombshell segment. Here is your biblical bombshell of the week. I told you that we were going to be talking about loving yourself enough. I hope you had your pen and paper, or maybe your Bible app, or you know, something to take notes. This is going to change your life. It's something that I had been mulling over, and I want us to look at Matthew 22:39, right? Matthew 22. Let's start at verse 35 though. And it says in Matthew 22:35, and one of their number, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. Teacher, which kind of commandment is great and important? The principal kind in the law. Some commandments are light, which are heavy. And he replied to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind and intellect. This is the great, most important principle and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. These two commandments sum up, and upon them depend all the law and the prophets. Now listen, this scripture baffled me. Now you know we read this a lot in Christian circles, but the second commandment is what has really come alive for me, right? So when I looked at this, not only are we supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. So with your entire being, you should be loving the Lord, right? But then it says the second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. Do y'all see this already? Because I'm like so hyped. And it says that the two commandments really is summed up, and it depends on all the law and the prophets, meaning that it, you don't have to try to figure out how to fulfill the entire law, fulfill everything that God has said. Jesus came and he basically became the epitome of how we are to walk. And when we begin to allow the image of Christ to be formed on the inside of us, what happens is we begin to fulfill the law that he had really, you know, elaborated on in the Old Testament. Really, all of it depends, and all of it really is about how you treat other people, right? And so it says, you shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. So first, God tells us in the word that he is love, right? And then in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells you what love looks like. It's not rude. It doesn't keep no record of wrong, you know? And we also know that love covers a multitude of sins, right? And so this part I want us to hone in on is that you should love your neighbor as you do yourself. So I realized that there is a hierarchy of things that I should focus on. Number one, I need to love God. I need to go to God to figure out what love looks like. And the more that he is formed in me, you know, the Bible talks about that when we look at the word, it's like looking at a mirror. But some of us, we'll walk away from the mirror and forget what we look like, right? So every time we look at the word should be forming in us. We should be conforming to it, right? So there's a merger, a transaction that happens, a divine transaction that happens, right? But this says that you shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. So number one, I should be going to and having experiences with the Lord so that he can be formed in me. And then it says, secondly, I should be loving myself. So after I love God, I begin to see who I am. I begin to identify who I am. I begin to see the nature of who I am. I begin to see how God has made me up, and I fall in love with me. And then number three, I should be able to love my neighbor, because this scripture said, you shall love your neighbor as you do yourself, which means that I can only love my neighbor to the magnitude and with the capacity that I love myself. So when I look at people now, the people around me, I question their love, not in a bad way. It's just that I know that they can only give to me the capacity that they're giving to themselves. And so I know that I spend a lot of time with people, and one of the things that I have a mantle for is inner healing. And so with that, it means that I can sit in the midst of people and I can detect brokenness, because brokenness will always speak. Okay, that's a biblical bombshell right there. Brokenness will always speak. Okay. For some reason, brokenness speaks louder, right? And you know, we always say that, you know, hurt people. But check this out. Heal people. So you can determine. That means that I will treat people based off the capacity that I treat myself. So we have a lot of us, right, that are walking around with negative narratives and limiting beliefs and defeating thoughts, right? Actually, the word stronghold, you know, the Bible talks about stronghold, but the word stronghold, when you look at it in the Hebrew and the Greek, it has a, and I can't remember if it was Hebrew or Greek, so just excuse my moment, because you can actually Google this and look this up, but there's a root derivative. It comes from the root derivative of our English word echo, and we all know what an echo is, right? Echo is when you're in this structure or a room or something with walls or something with some type of barrier where the sound goes out and it comes back to the hearer. And so many of us have what the Bible calls strongholds. And really, the word stronghold is neutral. It doesn't mean it's bad or good. It's all about the sound that it makes, right? So you can have a bad sound and you can have a good sound. But what is the sound that is happening in your inner man? What is the sound that is happening on the inside of you? What kind of narrative are you telling yourself? Because guess what? If you are already negative to yourself, it's going to be evident that you're going to be mean and nasty and petty and sarcastic to other people, because you do that with yourself. Like, you tear yourself down. So what comes out of you naturally will be that you are this way as well. If you do it to yourself, if you don't even love yourself first, there's no way that you can love me to full capacity. Do y'all understand that? That is like so pivotal. Like, it is such a revelation. Now, I want you to go to 1 John 4:8. I'm going to read this in the Amplified, because I'm going to quickly like touch these scriptures that I have found about love. And this one says in 1 John 4:8, he who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. So this is where I talked about in the beginning that God is love. And so your first reference point for trying to figure out what love is cannot be the world. It has to be that you're having your own experience. I didn't say read his book. I said experiencing God for yourself. There's a difference between reading the Logos and having an experience with Rhema. Okay. Y'all probably are like, what does that mean? Logos is the written word. Rhema is the inspired word, meaning that you're having an experience now with the Holy Spirit teaching you based off of logos. So you need logos. You need to learn logos so that you can comprehend the experiences that you will have with God, right? And so if you don't experience God and his love, not by persuasion, but by experience, then you won't understand all of the totality of what the logos is trying to, the logos where the Bible, the 66 books, what they're trying to relay to you and how to walk that out, right? And so this scripture tells you that God is love, which means that I need to encounter him first. Then I will learn how to love me. Then I will learn how to love my neighbor or my sister or my brother or whatever the case may be. So if you are jealous, like I like to deal with the jealousy thing a lot, because even whether you're in life or whether you're even an entrepreneur, you're going to deal with some form of jealousy, because you're always going to feel like you have to compete with something else. And until you free yourself and give yourself permission to be great and give yourself permission to, you know, mow your own lawn. You know how they always say that grass is greener on the other side? Honey, your grass can be just as green if you attend to it, but you're wasting time looking at someone else's grass. So you're looking at someone else mow their lawn instead of you taking the time to mow your lawn. Meaning that if you want a life that it resembles theirs or looks like theirs, really inside, you are really telling God that he doesn't have enough for you. You don't give yourself permission to be great. You don't give yourself permission to experience the kingdom of God. The Bible also says in Luke that God says that, you know, do not fear, little flock, for it is my pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I have been really sitting with this scripture for like 2 months, and I said, God, what are you trying to tell me? And he said, I need you to tell my people that disobedience, they need to look at it differently. Disobedience isn't just that you have not conformed to my ways, it's that you have not fell in love with me long enough to realize that I have a table that is spread from you. So you have failed to eat from the table of my goodness. That's what obedience is, that you have realized that it is about eating at the table of his goodness more than it is that you simply are not obeying some particular law. See, to God, when you fall in love with him, everything else becomes easy, right? So let's go to 1 John 4:20, right? If you go just down a little bit, it says, if anyone says, I love God and hates, detests, abominates his brother in Christ, he's a liar. But he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So this seems like it might be a dichotomy, because it's like, listen, it's trying to tell me that, you know, if I don't love my brother who I can see, you know, then how in the world can I love God? But again, our reference point of how to love someone is from God. And so I should learn how to love my brother, but I can't sit here and say, oh, I don't love him. You know, there's a lot of people who speak against the body of Christ, and to me, I ask them the question, well, do you even want to be a part of it? Because you always have negative narratives about the body of Christ. But honey, to the same measure that you're trying to judge us, to the same measure that you say, or you seek out, or you always articulate our flaws, do you not see yours? Like, do you not see the speck in your own eye? So you have to be really strategic and cognizant of the fact that I know that my brothers and sisters in Christ got flaws. That's why there's no real, you know, that word church hurt is not a real word, because if you're gonna have church hurt, then you need to have store hurt, you need to have doctor hurt, you need to have work hurt, because we get hurt by all types of people. And if you're gonna bring an organization together into a what we call a local body or the ecclesia of the church, guess what? It just means that there's a whole lot of hurt people, broken people coming together, and we're trying to do something in God, right? In 1 John 4:18, though, a little bit above it, it says there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full grown, complete, perfect. I'm reading Amplified Classic. Love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror, for fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. So if you fear that I'm going to hurt you, then you don't love me fully, because you are reserving being yourself because you are fearful that I'm going to hurt you. It's just like, oh my God, I've been molested, right? You're not free until you can be in the same space as the molester and still love the molester, although by wisdom you may not stay or sleep in the same spaces as him, but you will also be able to continue to love him or her even though what they did. That means that I'm separating, you know, because think about this, God looks at us and he separated our sin from us, so you must also do the same with other people. That's a part of the love package. But you also have to give yourself grace. See, some of us as women especially, we don't give ourselves grace. We don't even give ourselves space to heal. We don't give ourselves space to grow, ourselves space to mature. We always have these higher expectations of ourselves and measuring ourselves by ourselves, but we really need to give ourselves space. Give ourselves space to grow, mature, and be loved. Give ourselves permission to be great and to be loved and to be given grace unconditionally, right? And when we do that for ourselves, we can do it for other people, other people. So I just wanted to leave that with you that, listen, many of you are probably like, man, you know, I want to commit suicide. Suicide is an indicator that you don't love yourself, that you hate your life, and that you have not found the love of Christ. And so I really pray for you. I really pray that the love of God would be formed in you, that you would have your own experiences with Christ, that you will, you know, really begin to just love yourself and love what you do. I have finally been able to sit in the seat of my existence and to say that I actually have found the love of God and I actually have experienced it. And I am, you know, being awakened to who I am and I love who I am. And, you know, some of us, we have fears and anxieties and, you know, we have all of these insecurities and they stop us from being great. We allow them, we give it the power to stop us from moving forward and what God has for us and getting what God has for us and all of those great things. Listen, it's not that God has held his hand back. Matter of fact, God says in 2 Peter that I have given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, which means what? Which means that I have given you all things and it has already been released in your life. And my husband, he said something so key, because if you don't know, we're pastors. But he had preached one time and he said, it's so key. He says, like Amazon, God is like Amazon. He has limitless supplies, right? And and it's already been delivered to your house. But here's the thing, in the kingdom of God, when the package has already been delivered, it's at your door. The kingdom is yours. But listen, it's looking for the version of you that is able to handle that particular domain. See, in my house, my son, he's 6 years old. He has access to the whole house. He can go into any room. He can actually access anything. But there's some things that's reserved, not because it isn't his and he can't access it. It's because he's not mature enough to handle it. So the fireplace and my husband's razors and the stove, you know, there's certain things that he cannot touch, because I know that if he touch it, not only will he hurt himself, he will also have the propensity to hurt other people, set the house on fire or scrape somebody or cut someone or, you know, whatever the case may be. So instead, because I love him, I share with him that it's not that you can't touch it, it's just you can't touch it right now, because I have to show you, teach you how to do it. You know, T.D. Jakes likes to say a lot, can you handle being blessed? See, a lot of times we say yes, but we do not do the work required for us to be able to access what is ours, because access requires process. Now, that's a whole another sermon, a whole another teaching that I'm going to go through, but I want to leave you with this, is that, listen, God loves you. You must learn how to love him back. You must learn how to experience him. You must create spaces where he is invited. You must invite him into your life. You must invite him into your home. You must invite him and his angels into your space so they can continually protect you, continually give you what is already happening in heaven, a worshipful atmosphere. That is really what you yearn for. And we get to have that space on earth, even during this dispensation of time where we're living out our lives. God loves you, and I love you also. And so, yeah, this wraps up the segment of Biblical Bombshells. This is your Biblical Bombshell of the week. I hope that you are encouraged. All right, so listen, next up, you know what I'm saying? Here's number two and the top three countdown. Let's turn up to Keisha Dreams. This is an oldie, and this song is called Teach Me How to Love from the Promise Fulfilled album.
Tell me it's rare. People speaking of things, but you love them and care. I'ma give you a call when I'm speaking me wrong. Talking and breaking your frame, lying and carrying on. I'm not living afraid, but you show me the change. Loving no matter what the race or the size of the age. If they're lying on you, love is securing an aid. Walk right on out of the fate. Heart is not bitter decay. Forgiveness is free and your mind at ease. Father, forgive them now. They don't know what they mean. I know you died for them as well. When they mocked at you, Lord, you were quiet and hard. You came right where we all called and you speak to our heart. Perishing none you call, you sending your pages in awe. When I'm faced with stuff, I practice your words. Beating the odds and keeping, Lord, I'm putting you first. Your ways and it works, the system, I'm surely a fan. Burdens and troubles arise, sending our proofs in your hands. You know what to do, so I'm calling on you. Sending manna from heaven, so this mountain can move. God will never force our choice, so we have it to choose. But good God, I never lose the tools and you give it to use. God removed the thorn, I think I learned a lesson. Now I'm praying for one who didn't send them lessons. Showing kindness and love is power, it's surely your weapon. Counseling and teaching us too, silence is better for hearing.
Teaching me how to love. Love is more about loving people who may not love you back. We're the light. Love is the light. In order for darkness to see light and become light, we have to display it by love. Love is true freedom. Loving no matter what. Thank you for teaching me how to love.
Oh, so dope, right? That was number two in the top three countdown, which was Keisha Dreams, Teach Me How to Love from the Promise Fulfilled album. Listen, Keisha Dreams, if you ever get to see or hear this podcast, listen, you need to make some more music. I hope that your life and that the Lord will just open up doors for you to make more music, because I really enjoy this album. But let's move right on into the segment I like to call Brand Bite. This is for my bold, brilliant, and beautiful emerging Kingdom Women entrepreneurs. Listen, launching an online personal brand affords you the opportunity to market yourself and monetize your skills, your gifts, your expertise, your creativity, and your knowledge, right? And you can turn that into signature services and products that are distinct for your target audience in such a creative, dynamic, and profitable way, right? So you feel like you have a unique service, product, or program that's a necessary solution for a specific audience. And you sense the urgency from God to really enter the marketplace as a Kingdom brand. And being able to merge who you are and what you have into a profitable business based on Kingdom principles really makes this mission even more meaningful to you. But I know that when you venture into the marketplace and you launch an online brand, it can be a daunting experience, right? Especially when you do not know what to do, how to do it, who to go to for help. And sometimes you sense that God has given you this mantle to help people, but there's just too much information out on the market. So I get it, sis. I mean, you got to think about stuff like, do I need a website? What is a brand? How do I reach my target audience? What is a funnel? How can I automate the customer process? Should I be an LLC or an S Corp or a C Corp? You know, these are questions that overwhelm the mind of emerging entrepreneurs and even some existing entrepreneurs who actually been in the game and for 5 years or more. So trying to understand branding and color palettes and typography, logo creation, and like I said, marketing funnels, payment gateways, booking applications, website platforms, email automation, social media marketing, lead generation, optimizing SEO, like, you know, and even real stuff like creating a realistic profit strategy. I mean, my God, where do you begin? And, you know, but the real question is, do you want to piecemeal your brand together? Or do you want real Kingdom entrepreneurship coaching and done for you services and stuff like that? Like, do you really know what you actually need to get your brand on the market with strategy, style, and systems that actually work for you and your customer. So that's where I come in, because I know that you desire to take bold steps and that you want to do it in excellence, but you feel that your checklist of to-dos is never ending. And then the fear of the unknown is so overwhelming, and this can make you literally abandon the whole idea of going into the market. Some of you may even feel stuck. But listen, God is requiring you, sis, to come up higher. So this is what my Brand Bite segment is all about, giving you just small bits of insight and tools to do kingdom business well. So today I want to talk about what I would say is my top five to-do things that every emerging entrepreneur should do. These are not Christian steps, like if you would, you know, humble yourself, pray, seek my face, then No. These are legit, natural, need-to-do items that need to be solidified. And this is after you already know what you're going into business for, who you're targeting, and all that other good stuff. So listen, I hope you got your pen and paper still in front of you. But this is number one. You have to establish your business entity. Okay, and you need to do it in three places. Federal, you need to get your EIN. So you need to go to the federal website to get your EIN number. Okay, then you need to go to your state. So it is different with every state on the fees and everything. So let me back up. The EIN is very easy to get. They have streamlined that process. You literally just need to go to the site and apply for it. And so, yes, just go to irs.gov and you will be able to do what you need to do. And it's really an automatic process. Like once you fill out the information correctly, it will spit back to you the certificate of your EIN, your EIN number, stuff like that. Keep that in a safe space, right? You're going to have a vault or, you know, a business folder or whatever that you have to, you know, manage your business. But you need to keep that. You're going to need that EIN number for several things, specifically taxes. Now, state has and wants to tax you too. Okay, so you have to be recognized not only with the government of the U.S., but you need to also be established with the state. Now, that may be LLC, Corp, S Corp, C Corp, DBA, whatever that process is. You need to go to your state corporation commission, and you need to Google it for your specific state, and you need to figure out what that process is. There are different fees. Like I heard, like I only had to pay up about $100. I've heard up to $400 for people who are in different states. I want to say someone told me, and they were in Texas. So you may have a different fee set, but just know that you need to get that done. And I can't speak to, I'm not an expert when it comes to, should I be an LLC, a S Corp, a Corp, a C Corp, a DBA, and all of that. You're going to have to do your own research on that, so don't ask me no questions. But I will say that being an LLC and literally sitting with the tax people, because I go to H&R Block faithfully to this one guy, I had to really owe, because I was so profitable in my business last year, and it really, like, I had to pull out some money, yo. I'm talking about thousands of dollars, and that got me thinking, right? Here's one of my mishaps. I am in a lot of business and entrepreneurship groups, and everyone talks about, you know, that what's the difference between LLC and, you know, C Corp and stuff like that. So I've just been looking into that, and I will say that, and S Corp as well. You're going to want to, if you're just an LLC and you start making a certain dollar, you're going to want to start being taxed specifically just on your business stuff, right? With the LLC, they kind of like loop it in with what you're making on your job and also, you know, what you are making. So basically all of this together topped me off into another bracket, and I had to owe like some major money. Another thing that I will say you need to do is also your county or your city, you need to possibly get a business license. So you need to research that. Okay. Cause basically everybody just wants a piece of your pie, and you know, that's just what you're gonna have to do. Another one that I thought about that is not a part of this list. So let's say this is 1A. You might want to go ahead and get you a tax attorney or an accountant or something to that nature, because as it pertains to your taxes, you are going to be blown by the information that you're going to be blown by the amount that you're going to have to put out, but then or pay to the government. But then there are other tax strategies that you're going to want to be a part of as you become more and more profitable in your business. Some people pay taxes quarterly. Some people, like, there's just a whole slew of things that I'm learning that I will say, listen, sis, don't be like me. Go ahead and research
you know, people who can do your accounting, who are also semi-experts to giving you tax strategies, okay? Do that. That's number 1A. Okay, now let's move to number 2. Number 2, you need to trademark, copyright, or patent your smarts, right? There's a lot of, I will say, black business, black entrepreneurs, specifically black-owned women that do a lot of this. So you just need to research and do your own thing. I'm just telling you that this is how I got into this process. I'm with a trademark attorney right now. And I will shout her out because I think she's bomb. Her name is Kiana McGee with the McGee Law Firm. And if you actually want to follow her on Instagram, she is actually, trademark my stuff, trademarkyourstuff.com. And so, or trademark your stuff on IG. So look for her, Kiana McGee. She's very visible. But there's like 4 others that I follow too. And like I said, these are black owned women. You don't have to go that route. I'm just saying that I'm just putting that out there, but you're going to want to secure your smarts. You're going to want to do that. I'm about to launch a society that I will be talking about in the coming episodes, but I was prompted by God to really trademark the society name. And I know that the society will grow, become a big thing. Like there's a whole really substantial, you know, concept that I have around the society, which is a monthly membership where you're going to be able to have access to me even the more, to digital courses and masterclasses and other vetted educators and, you know, just some meetups, some physical and some digital meetups. And, you know, it's a thing, like it's a real thing that has evolved over time within me. I'm ready to launch it, but I had got prompted to trademark the name. When I went through the trademark process, one of the things that a trademark attorney will do is that they will actually give you a risk assessment based on the name you're trying to trademark before they even, you know, put in the application with the USPTO office, and for the purpose of that you would have the highest success. So some people feel like you don't need a trademark attorney, but I will say this, you don't know all the ins and outs. One of the things that I'm finding is just because you didn't see it in Google, and just because you didn't, it returned back 0 results with the USPTO.gov site, I've realized that the trademark attorneys and the examining trademark attorneys use something specifically different to do a thorough search. Like the stuff that she would come back with and in what they call the opinion letter was stuff that I did not locate, but it's very similar. We're in the same industry, aka class, which will pose issues. Because here's the thing, whatever you don't trademark is up for grabs for real, right? And you would have to, what I call the poor man's way, be in court paying fees and all of this just to prove that you were the first person on the internet to do it. But listen to this, like if it's another business that's already like doing it and they felt like that you stole their stuff and they actually win, guess what they get to take? They get to not only send you a cease and desist letter, this is prior to court, and that will make you shut your business down, but number 2, they also can take all of what you've made off of using that name. So I don't play about this. This is something that I now school my clients on, because being in the process now makes me think about a lot of things, which made me pause a lot of things and say, let me get some things in order. So I'm telling you, as a mishap for me, matter of fact, I think Kiana McGee's story is that she had a business and came up against trademark infringement and had to shut her business down. And so now this is her passion. So when I say that, don't be that girl, don't be that person who actually gets into a fickle with someone because you didn't want to go through the process to protect your brand, you know, be smart about this. If you want to do kingdom business for real, you got to be excellent in all ways, and you need to protect it from the hands of the enemy. So the enemy would love for you to have holes in your process and holes in your brand. He looks for places to take you down. Don't give the enemy that room, okay? Even though it's a natural thing that's happening, the enemy will use that little space or little foothold and take your whole thing down. He doesn't want you to enter the marketplace because it means that you are now entering to what we consider to be marketplace evangelism, which is where you're not specifically an evangelist per se, but you're doing the work of an evangelist. And now when people encounter you and your brand, they also encounter the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ, and you're able to impart into them, impact their life, and now it changes the trajectory different from where the enemy would want that person to be. So there is a very deep moment that is happening for those who are trying to enter the marketplace. Please know that God has a strategy and there's a deeper meaning to you entering the marketplace. So make sure that you trademark, copyright, and or patent your smart. What is the difference? Trademark is all about the marks. So it's all about the logos, it's all about phrases, it's all about because you can trademark your tagline, you can trademark your business name, you can trademark a service name, you can trademark a brand name under your brand. Like I said, my society is under my brand. I'm going to trademark that. I'm going to trademark some other pieces. You know, I'm just trying to get through it. But yeah, make sure you have some capital to handle that, because that's what you're going to have to deal with the trademark. And you go to USPTO.gov to do anything concerning the United States Patent and Trademark Office. Okay, copyright.gov is all about copywriting. So we're talking about literature, we're talking about poems, we're talking about books, we're talking about like literature, like, you know what I mean, writings and different things like that. They have a whole different office and a whole different policy. All right, so number three, because that was all number two, you need to open up a business bank account. And maybe you could put 1A under here if you wanted to, about the tax accountant and, you know, a tax expert and an accountant and all of that good stuff. But you need to separate your funds, okay? It is very easy for you to add profits from a business in your general account that you use for your personal means, and to begin thinking in your mind that, oh, I have this extra $1,000. Now, if you want to live like that because you're not taking your business serious, be, you know, that's on you. But I'm telling you, if you're trying to do it for real, you need to get a separate business bank account. Number four, you need to secure your digital real estate. What does that mean? Domain names. And with your domain name, go ahead and get your official email address. I do not trust businesses who say that they are legit business, but they have a Gmail account. Okay. You need to have an official business email if you do. Now, I highly recommend that you do not allow your domain name and email address account to be with the same platform you would use to launch your website, okay? There's a lot of website platforms that will allow you to get your domain and stuff with them. I say go separate, so that whenever you want to use another website platform, maybe you want to move it from like Squarespace to WordPress or whatever you want to use, then your domain name, you won't have to undo all of that. All you have to do is just update it in something. So I highly recommend GoDaddy. This is where I tell all my clients to go to get their domain name. Now, you want to get your domain name because, listen, there are actual people out there that are legally looking for the trending domain names or things that have like a high search rate to it, right? And it's because they will actually buy it and then put a price on it on when you really want it. So now you will see domain names that really would have been $1 a month or $24 for the year become $1,000 that you got to pay this person to get your domain name. They do it all the time. So if you see your domain name and it has an additional price to it, or they're selling it for some astronomical price, just know that legally that's what the people are doing, okay? So if you have something that you are completely sold to, go get your domain name and then go ahead and get your official email address. So whether it's going to be so for me, I'm QuianaJ.com. That's my domain name. I have hello@QuianaJ.com. You can do admin@QuianaJ.com. You can do, you know, ministry at whatever. You can do whatever you want in the front of it, but it matches your domain and makes you look official. Number five, last note. Develop a brand and marketing plan. Now, really, this is two pieces, because your brand plan and your marketing plan is different. The difference between brand and marketing is this. Brand, you're preparing a party for people to come to and experience. Marketing is the invitation for them to come to the party. So there's two different plans. They both really need to go together, because your branding needs to match the people you're trying to target. It's a whole party that you're bringing together. Okay, so that's all I want to give out today. Listen, lastly, here's my number one song in the top three countdown. It is Adia, It's a Lie, from the Frontline EP.
Believe that. Now you every pain is a lesson. Be released from all the fear that got you scared of progressing. Every heart has a limit. Max it out, make you timid. Be released from all the fear that got you scared of loving again. Every trick of the enemy is a lie, lie, lie.
Thank you for tuning in to the Be Her podcast. Listen, whatever you're going through, sus, God is a step ahead of you. Remember that. Make it your business this week to build her, brand her, and become her so you can get kingdom results. I pray God's choices, blessings over your life. Listen, leave your girl some love in the comment box. Send me a message or something. Tell me something you want me to cover concerning life or business, or even a song request from your favorite female artist you think I should feature. For all of you big action takers, connect with me for life coaching sessions, brand strategy or brand development coaching sessions, or maybe you need some done-for-you branding services. You can look at all of that at www.QuianaJ.com or simply engage with me on the socials at Quiana J Speaks. Until next time, be blessed.